The best thing I feel still that you can do is interview the customers themselves, either in person, on the phone, and to discover what they like about your product or services. And if you have a steady customer base already, you can ask really, really specific questions to build that persona. Because what you're working on is like, what is it in that person, where he is in the company? What is their typical day? What are the goals measured on? And how your product is helping them solve their challenges.
Hey everyone, welcome to another fantastic Tuesday's episode of the Elevated Entrepreneur Podcast. Today's episode is about a topic that I have come to learn a lot about as an entrepreneur. And I think it is a entrepreneur's secret most weapon if they're looking to grow sales without spending big money. In fact, Surbhi, who's our guest today, helped my team and I at Cloudscape with this very same topic a few years ago, and we've changed the way we do business. Are you curious to know what the topic is? It's about ideal customers and personas. And I can't think of anybody better than Surbhi to help us with this topic. Surbhi is an astute digital marketing specialist and the CEO of her very own company called Digital Genie. Under her leadership, Digital Genie works with businesses to create customer personas, which form the foundation of all marketing activities. Before starting her own business, Surbhi's work experience included delivering value-based marketing programs for organizations of all different sizes, from setting up the marketing function from the ground up to leading the marketing arm of a large multinational. Surbhi's work experience has given her all the elements of marketing that drive business results. And that's why Surbhi is the perfect person to talk about ideal customers and personas. And like Steve Jobs would say, that's not all. Surbhi has even developed a special guide for you, which we're going to talk about at the very end of this episode. And with that, let's cue the music.
You're listening to the Elevated Entrepreneur Podcast, a podcast designed to help retailers, restaurateurs, and entrepreneurs simplify business operations and use modern technology to elevate their business. Here's your host, Deren Bhatia.
Surbhi, it is so amazing to have you on the Elevated Entrepreneur Podcast. Thank you for making time and thank you for being here.
Thank you, Deren. It's absolutely my pleasure to be with you and on this podcast.
Thank you. And you know, you and I have a special bond because you're the key person who's made this podcast happen. About a year ago, you planted the seed in my idea to start a podcast. And I remember our conversation to me saying to you, really? No, I don't think this is possible. And here we are today, almost a year and a half later. You're a guest on the show. I'm so honored. So thank you again for making time. And thank you for all your inspiration and all your support. Couldn't have done it without you.
Thank you. The pleasure is again all mine. And it has been such an amazing journey to see from really, do you think so, to planning all the episodes, meeting different kind of people that we met to get the podcast up and running. And then finally, seeing it live, it's really a dream come true for me too.
Yeah, the show is on the road. And, you know, I want you today to share your learnings and your experience and all the advice that you've given me as an entrepreneur and talk about what is an ideal customer. Because I speak to so many entrepreneurs and the one thing that I want them to know is what is an ideal customer? Why is it so important? And what comes down to making a business successful? And I think it's that idea of knowing who that ideal customer is and that persona. But before we get into all of that, I want you to tell us, what do you do and how did you get into what you're doing today?
Great. So I've been in marketing and communications field for over 15 years. And in this time frame, I've gone a full circle, if you will, from communications, public relations, events, traditional marketing, and now very much into modern marketing. I've been really fortunate to get global, regional, and local level marketing exposure that has really allowed me to gain a full-rounded perspective. All along, from communications to marketing, my role was either a new requirement for the company or a part of go-to-market strategy, which meant that I had to constantly communicate and think alongside business leaders. And this kept honing me to connect the dots to the big picture, always. So while that was a great run, in 2017, we moved to Dubai from Singapore. And once my connections here knew that I was in the neck of their woods, they started pulling me into interesting projects they were doing for their companies. And in no time, I realized that my hands are getting full and I needed a method to this madness, a company and a brand that my clients could relate to. That's how I simply started my company, Digital Genie. I had never really put an aim to be an entrepreneur, own a business one day. And now when I reflect back on the fast-paced corporate experience, all I did then fits perfectly as a jigsaw puzzle to gear me up for starting Digital Genie. Digital Genie specializes in building personas, conversions, and thought leadership. We work with businesses who know that leveraging highly targeted modern marketing can give them an edge. We are always looking for that narrative behind the brand that can then be translated into communications which drive results as per the big picture. So the first step is always to know, who do you serve? So most of our client conversations really begin by saying, can we see the buyer personas? Well, if you don't have one, let's start there.
Wow, that is so much to unpack, because there is so much that gets into marketing. There is communication, there's PR, there's so many different pieces of it. But I think the line that underscores all of this is connecting the dots. Because when you connect the dots, you come up with a well-rounded marketing strategy. You have the ability then to really go focused in your effort. But again, I think all of that is underscored by knowing who you're talking to. You know, all of these books and all of these videos that I listen to, they all say you should know who your customer is. They say you should know who your ideal customer is. So maybe I can ask you first, what do you think is the meaning of ideal customer?
All right. Let's take a minute to think of something that you know everybody likes. What comes to mind? Vacations? Well, time off actually stresses out some people more than it relaxes them. What about chocolate? As strange as it may seem, not everybody really loves chocolate, isn't it? So it's really hard to think of something that everybody likes. People are different. We all like, want, and need different things. All choices are motivated by our personal thoughts and preferences. So notice that emphasis is on the word personal. Your business works the same way. It's not a one-size-fits-all solution. There are certain people who will absolutely love your product and service and rave about it, and others may simply not see the point or the value that you're offering. And it is for this very reason that it's so important to identify your ideal customer. And that's exactly what we're talking about here.
Yeah, you're right. It all starts with a personal touch. And one of the things I've heard in this regard is you can't be everything to everyone. Your business, in very similar ways, cannot be everything to everyone. And I like the example that you gave of chocolates, because I know so many people who don't like chocolates. Me personally, I love chocolate, and I have a preference for dark chocolates. So what you're going in the direction that you're talking about is absolutely true. It starts with that personal touch and that personal desire to want to buy something from someone. So can you talk to me about your example with Digital Genie? How has that helped transform your business? Because you've started Digital Genie now for some time. And I know you've been on a journey to really drive into figuring out who your ideal customer is. Maybe you could share some experience in that.
Sure. I'll take you back to what you said, that my marketing is so dynamic. It is just so vast. So when I came here, I've always been in a corporate place before, and then I started my own business. So it took me some time to really think, who do I want to serve? Because I had this extremely high-end experience where I was working in a global marketing environment, very high-tech marketing technology infrastructure. And also I had this experience where I had literally rolled up my sleeves and built a whole marketing department on my own. So where was that balance that I would seek? So I went about networking, meeting a lot of people, asking questions as to what marketing is bringing to them in terms of value. And very often I would hear like, oh, you know, we spend so much on SEO, we spend so much on social media, but there is no value that we are getting. And that's where I realized slowly that my ideal customer would be somebody who has really run the business for 4 to 6 years, understands the market, he has sold his services or products, and now he has some understanding about what's working, what's not. And that's where I would come in as a marketeer to jumpstart and leverage on what he knows and what we want to build together. So pretty much like how I met you, Naren.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember the discussion that we had in our office over a cup of coffee and introducing us, and I was introducing my business. And I've been lucky in having worked with some amazing people that have guided me in figuring out who my ideal customer is. And those conversations become really easy. And especially over time, they become even more clearer. But I love what you talked about, where you said when you started your business, you were looking for that balance coming from corporate and now diving into your own business. And you very quickly understood, I think, that not everybody is going to be your customer. There could be 10,000 business owners just like me, but not all 10,000 of those are going to be your customer. And why do you think that is? I want you to explain that to the audience.
You see, because there's no universal definition of an ideal customer. Your ideal customer is a living, breathing definition unique to your business that you will keep going back to and modify it often. In a way, everybody is after customer satisfaction, the ability to find a customer, sell your product and or service to that customer and satisfy the customer so that he comes back the whole circle again to you should be all the focus of entrepreneurial activities. So ultimately, one must really think of an ideal customer as a customer type over a clearly defined period of time that you will dedicate your sales and marketing resources to acquire. As I always find in marketing, you kind of keep checking for that measurement and then going back and again checking whether this is really the ideal customer based on the behavior type. And also, this ideal customer should be somebody who can represent a range or bulk in characteristics, a bulk of your target audience. So if you're playing a dart game, the bullseye. So the greater clarity you have in regard to your ideal customer, the more focused and effective your marketing efforts will be. And that's where I felt that, how do we get that greater clarity for the ideal customer? Through personas. And that's where I said, I'm going to offer my services as a persona builder because they are the best asset a business can start with.
Yeah. And you helped Cloudscape do that a couple of years ago. You helped Cloudscape build our own personas. I want to ask you a couple of questions of ideal customer before we go into persona. Can a business have more than one ideal customer?
Absolutely. That's what the definition says. I mean, whatever the sentence says, that, you know, you keep going back to it, because while a certain type of customer is buying your product, over a period of time, you will find that there are others as well who are growing to be your ideal customer. And that's where you add value or reduce value based on their budget to offer your services to them. And I think when you start, say, if you're selling one product or services, you should at least have 3 buyer persona types over a period of time, because then you are not generalizing that one person. You have variance as a range.
Yeah. So you have this idea of an ideal customer. It could be a he, she, business owner, non-business owner, husband, wife, mother, father. There's so many different characteristics. But what you're saying is there can be, or it's ideal to have an idea of 3 of them, because then you can split the characteristics out. And we're going to get into that now. I think the next discussion here that comes very closely related to ideal customer is persona. And you've touched upon it already. Maybe you can break down what is a persona in its simplest form.
Sure. So buyer personas have many names. Just let me clarify that. People call it avatar. People call it marketing personas, profiles. Whatever is the term, it all means the same. The purpose of it is the same. And buyer personas helps businesses understand and empathize with their customers so that they can do a better job of acquiring and serving them. HubSpot defines buyer persona as a semi-fictional representation of your ideal customer based on market research and a real data that you are taking from your existing customers. So there are 2 parts to it. First is a fictional part that you put together based on your market research. But the other part is really the real data that you are actually getting from your existing customers.
Right. Very technical. And I want to unpack that a bit with your help. And I think examples are always great. So probably one way that I can relate to this, because this is such an important conversation to have. When I started Cloudscape, Cloudscape is in the business of implementing software systems for clients. And we look for retailers and restaurateurs as our target audience. But over time, what became apparent to us was not every retailer or restaurateur is going to be a client of ours. There are certain types of retailers and restaurateurs. And you and I worked out a couple of these personas in our exercises. One was a brand new entrepreneur who was just starting their business. And we named her Kika after one of our very good clients. She's a millennial. She's a modern entrepreneur. She's starting a new business and he or she needs our help in figuring out what processes and systems would work. And then we have another persona who we call Deepak, who is an existing entrepreneur who has run business for a few years and now is looking for help and advice on how to simplify operations. So we came up with this and it has been true today in who we deal with. But maybe you can help break that up a little more by guiding the audience as to why we did that. Or maybe you could share a couple examples on how you did yours.
Sure. But before we get into examples, let us build, like, what are the practical ideas for gathering this information to develop persona? Because what I believe is having these thoughts in your head is a good idea when you start. But at some point, you really got to have it black and white. You have to write it down. And as you go along, you keep writing more and more and more information into it. But the start can be really like, look through your contact database, uncover the trends about how certain leads or customers find and consume your content. Where are they going? Are they coming to your website through Google, through social media, through ads that you've placed? Or if you've not placed anything, if you just have a plain vanilla website, leverage on Google Analytics. Then when you're creating forms on your website, use form fields that capture important persona. For example, like in the Middle East region, there are small and mid-sized enterprises which really sell in the region. And at that time, they really don't know their customer. They're getting the form filled by first name, last name, company, email ID, and phone number, and they don't ask the country. But that becomes like a distinction because then you can really see that which country is getting you more of the customers or more interest from. Then take into consideration your sales team's feedback. And I think they become a very integral part of this conversation because they can draw generalizations from different kind of conversations that they're having through with the customers, who they serve the best. So that is very important to build into. That is qualitative. I'm talking about both qualitative and quantitative part. The best thing I feel still that you can do is interview the customers themselves, either in person, on the phone, and to discover what they like about your product or services. And if you have a steady customer base already, you can ask really, really specific questions to build that persona. Because what you're working on is like, what is it in that person, where he is in the company? What is their typical day? What are the goals measured on? And how your product is helping them solve their challenges? Because that is a bridge that will allow you to build a lot more marketing around it. You are going to talk to them about their challenges, not about how your product is giving them solutions. It has to really take into consideration their challenges.
100%. I couldn't agree anymore. I think two of those points that you've given there are phenomenal. So I just want to recap because I think there was quite a bit of information. That's the first thing that you suggested was look for patterns in your existing forms. So ask the right questions on your website because most people have a simple website. They may not be spending a lot of money in marketing. But if you have a website and you have a simple form, ask the right questions. Like you said, which country, maybe which stage of business. So there's a few questions you can ask. The second thing you mentioned was ask your sales team. Your sales team is your people on the ground. These are the ones that are talking to your customer. And they're the ones that are really getting into the weeds with your customers. And they're figuring out what is it that they can do. And they can give you great feedback. And the last one, which you suggested, which I love, is talking to your customer. I don't think that point can be underlined enough. And I can put all sort of colors on that point because your customers have all the answers. You just need to talk to them. You have to ask them and they will give you so much information that you'll end up writing books and books about your own customer because that's where the magic is, I think. So thank you for sharing that. That's phenomenal. So now a business owner is, he's got the forms right. he's talking to his sales team, he's spoken to these customers, he or she is starting to find a pattern. What should they do next?
So once you have the pattern, right, it is like literally putting the face of the person, or even if you're picking up assumed face, the name, it's like really building a bio of that person that you want to serve. So put a photo, put a name, put a title. And I always think giving that one punch statement, you know, like if you think about a retailer, I want more footfalls in my shop. That is his, that one big sentence, the one big challenge sentence, because that is his key KPI. If you have asked your customer, what is one challenge that you're trying to solve? What is that one KPI that you want to achieve? That's what that sentence should be. You could write certain information like, you know, what he goes about doing in the day, how he's consuming content, what kind of blogs, networks, clubs he is into, what are his likes, dislikes in terms of if it is again in F&B kind of a setup for industry restaurateurs, then how are F&B kind of likes, dislikes, that could be all written in and compromised. So now I'm not saying like one pager, it could be two pager, it could be three pager, because again, remember, this is a living document. You've got to go back to it and keep adding more and more and more, because even if you interview your customer, you're not going to ask everything in one interview. And even he wouldn't know in that interview how much of information you have to give. So even in my situation, when I was trying to figure this business part out, I'm thinking constantly of asking, working with my target audience, asking them questions over and over. And I'm not stopping here. I'm always going to keep asking questions.
Yeah. And the other thing that you mentioned, very key, that I want to draw out again, is keep a document. And this becomes your living, breathing document. It's not a document that you set it once and you forget it. It's a document that you literally carry around in your head. And the minute you realize something new about this persona, you write it down. It gives that persona more color and it makes it even more real. So writing it down, we have done that as well. And I know you and I did that as part of Cloudscape. We had these Google Docs. We put a photo, we gave it a name, likes, dislikes. So important to do that. I want to ask you a couple of questions in terms of Digital Genie, because I know you're going through this process now and you're building this for Digital Genie. What are some of the challenges that people can expect when they start to do this?
First and foremost is, you know, lack of enough customers. Because like when you're really at the beginning of it, you've spoken to your customer, but you still like are figuring it out in terms of what your product is and how much of a challenge it is solving. So if your base is small, obviously your research is going to be skewed in that sense. I mean, if you're still following the interview pattern. Again, if you're starting between 1 or 2 years, you don't have enough database to go doing a survey about and things like that. So these are formative years challenges, if you will. Then in the middle, there are challenges like shifts in the industry. There could be disruption. There could be technological advances. People are more used to doing a lot of things on apps now rather than really physically going and doing things. So if you have the pulse on the market, you will go and ask the customer, will it help you if my service becomes an app? Just a simple question. So these are different challenges. The other challenge I find is people don't give true information. Like they say, oh, we like this and we follow this kind of brands, or we kind of go to this clubs or a part of social circle and stuff. Then it kind of skews the information to the fact that they are not being their true self. What they say, you take it as the true value, right? So that is also one of the challenges. So that is the reason why you must do many more interviews. And it doesn't need to be really, really very formal interview where you hold the customer, make him sit and say, now I'm going to interview, I'm going to build my profile. It can be just a natural flowing conversation as a friend or as a human to human connection. If you ask, oh, where did you study? What kind of education you have? What was your experiences moving to Dubai? Because most of us are expatriates. We're coming in from certain places. So that brings a lot of flavor to how are they thinking? What is going on in their culture, in their personality? So you really build that person, if you will, through that document.
As you're talking, what I'm imagining is you're peeling the layers of the onion, right? One layer at a time. And it takes time to do that. You just can't do this in one shot. So having multiple conversations, having a document that keeps getting better and better. It's all part of that process.
And while this all may seem like very technical and, oh, is it going to give me value instant? Because right now everybody is living in instant gratification kind of a world. I highly recommend entrepreneurs to pay attention to this and keep coming back to it. They can run along their business as per normal. Just keep coming back to it because you're building something and it is like a pickle, if you will. If you don't show the sun too much, it's not going to turn into a great pickle. So,
I like that one. I'm going to use that in the future. I like analogies and that's a very interesting one.
Yeah, if you don't show enough sun to a pickle that you're making, you're not going to make a great pickle. And this is where I feel using this analogy, you kind of go back to showing the sun to your buyer persona, like show it a daylight, go back to it, read it, reread it. Because every quarter probably you have had a business run, you have had experiences, you have done something with your business. So you go back to it and make some notes and go back to it and make some notes.
So I have a couple more questions. One of them is, I've heard, and I've personally done this in my business, and I've recommended this to other business owners, is do surveys. So it's a similar way of asking questions. And I know some of my friends and family who are in this very same scenario now, they're looking for their ideal customers. They've done surveys. What should they do next after a survey? Could you give them any advice?
So survey is another way of getting people to voice out opinion, share data, and you collect the data. If the survey is being done for getting a feedback of how their products are or how their services are, obviously, this is a very valuable information. And just like personas, you keep going back to them because at this time, the comment on that survey may not make the most sense, but at some other time it may. So surveys, I feel every year if you do as an end of the year survey or something like that, it really is helpful to build on that database and that information. And in fact, if you're doing it as a company, maybe at an offsite or somewhere, you can look through it as a team together. And because it's a one-way communication, the client is not there in front of you to talk about what he really meant, but what he's written is what he's written. And then that could be a conversation amongst the team members to see what is it that we are not reading. Literally help all brains to put together reading between the lines.
Yeah. I want to ask you a couple of questions about something you mentioned earlier. One is shifts in the industry. And I think that has some implications, especially now with COVID. I think COVID is a big shift. How does this affect a core persona build? Does it actually affect it or should it not affect it?
You know, persona is like a blueprint for the business. Like when you are building it, it's always constantly, you're going back to it. Now with COVID, a lot of behavior pattern has changed in the market. So you again go back to it. And this is cyclical, right? Like today it is a pandemic, which is a little bit different, but every 10 years or so, there has been this cycle of recessions and slow economy or whatever. And you go back to it and you write down what are the typical behaviors of customers in this time. And if you write it down now, when the next recession hits, you are already prepared. Or you are anticipating what are the behaviors like. So you are building your marketing communications around it. So you know things are slowing down. You switch to value-based. I always talk about this push and pull strategy. So you're not pushing information into the overtly noisy marketplace. You're rather pulling it in by giving more value-based content, more value-based services, instead of trying to push and earn that deal, you know. In terms of personas, I feel this is like a blueprint for your business, and having your ideal customer sketched out and then build personas, the sales team will have no doubt who is the customer and what is it that that customer has gone through over a period of time. So when you are writing that note about, say, Kika, the millennial, now millennial is 3 years down in the business. She has gone through a cycle of possibly no sale to much more sale. And now during the pandemic, when there are nobody walking into the store, of zero sales. So you go back and write the notes because again, you're communicating with the customer. You are talking to them.
Yeah. And so what I've learned from this, what you just shared, my own experience with the shift in the industry, because this has been a fundamental shift. Your core persona doesn't change. Your ideal customer definition doesn't change. their patterns are changing, which what is what you're noting down in this document. And so then you can then tweak your services further. You can then deliver to them in a different way.
That's right. You know, there is a classic example here where when you have persona built up, your sales team definitely know who it is. Your marketing team now knows how to exactly communicate to them. But the beauty is, even if the receptionist is picking up the call, they will know exactly if a prospect is calling and asking him the right questions then and there. You know, I really recommend this persona to really be a document attached to the company document where everybody reads through it. It's not like fine print. And then everybody knows what you're talking about here. It's like almost building a culture around.
Yeah. And, you know, lately, a lot of big marketing firms talk about this idea of putting the customer at the center and then you building your services around that customer rather than the older way where you had these upside down or top down approach where you were pushing information to your customer. Now the customer is in the center. And if indeed the customer has to be in the center, then the whole company needs to know about this customer. I hear a lot of times people say, well, this is great, but how do I deal with one customer? I can't survive my business on one customer. Or I just can't go after one type of customer. Is there any detriment or if anything, is there any gain if they went down this path of choosing an ideal customer and a persona?
We saw a lot of merits, right? Like everybody knows who their customer is now in the company. I don't think at the face of it, there is any detriment. But obviously, as a business owner, you must know what is happening in the market. And because there are these challenges that keep coming about, like technology, disruption, the collapsing of industries, whatever, it is important for a business owner to always have these range of personas and keep talking to them. And in order to not miss out, literally, because if you have the pulse on the market and if you still have one persona, then you will always have already find a disconnect that you feel that, okay, this customer is just fine. I mean, you're not able to push it or maybe increase the sale. And that is why the three customer personas are really helpful, that you can have the range of it. One which is not a regular one which is the ideal one, and one which is the upscale one.
Yeah. Typical customers that are in different parts of their journey, and those could become your ideal persona.
Yeah, and again, it is not like you are working on only one method of selling to that customer. What this does is like definitely gives you a guide. It is like a verification. So like a check and balance, right? Like, so if you have a persona written and if you are facing this challenging conversion, like where you have this customer who's shown all the different characteristics, he's gone to the website, he's downloaded content, he's possibly seen your demo or come to your event, and now he's still not converting. At this point, the sales team and you can definitely go back to this persona and kind of have a conversation that what is the motivation that is not addressed in this particular case. So don't think of it as, while this is a blueprint and while people are going to go back to it in terms of verifying, there are always different tactics in terms of marketing and sales that you can engage your base with.
100%. As you were talking, I was just thinking of all my ideal customers who've been to our events, and I was thinking of how we can sell to them. So all in all, having a persona and having an ideal customer really makes life easy because you know who you're selling to. You know what their pains are, what their challenges are. And if you try to sell to everybody, you will lose out on that core message that you want to get out because your service is really fit for a certain type of the market. I want to ask you a couple of questions. In your experience has been with phenomenal companies. You didn't mention this in the start, but I know you worked with Ron Kaufman and you served on his marketing team. But before we go to that, I want to ask you, in building this for your business, Digital Genie, what were some of the challenges that you overcame and how did you overcome them? Because I've been very closely associated with you. I know you and I have had so many conversations about Digital Genie, but I want you to share some of your own stories as well.
This takes us really long time back, isn't it? Because, you know, one of the things that we keep doing to each other is pushing. I kept pushing you to saying that, okay, you should do this podcast and you have this thought leadership knack and you can really, you know, bring out that personality in you. And you kept telling me that, you know, you should do something about structuring your business. And so when I started, of course, I had no intention of really starting a business. So I didn't approach it as a business. I was always on this quote-unquote project mode, where I take up a project, deliver it, move on. Project, take it, deliver it, move on. So it took me some time to learn the basics of entrepreneurship. Even though I have an MBA in marketing and entrepreneurship, all the textbook goes out of the window really when you're on the field. And this was a very, very new market. I have always come to Dubai to serve corporates and not the SMEs. So it was a very different approach that I had to take. And there was a big component of self-doubt. And I was not sure whether I could do it on my own. So it took me a steep curve. And thanks to all the great support that people like you and others that I met along the way showed in me to believe that you can bring this about and you can do this. That's how I kind of started slowly building on it. And today when I'm in the process of building the website and putting things together, it gives me immense joy that, okay, you know, I've done this for the client. It is like so process oriented now that it is just checking the box and doing those things. Because I've done it for the clients, it's just sticking it in-house and now doing it that way.
Yeah, and one thing that you touched upon there is something that I want to highlight. When you have a core persona, sorry, you have an ideal customer and you have some personas, delivering to them also becomes such a joy because everything is exactly the same. It's the same thing done all over again. And I think that makes a business even more successful because your team is now ready to deliver the same thing again and again, and they're getting better and they're getting more efficient. So the quality becomes amazing.
Yeah, and you only improve. The only way from there is to go up because it is like a well-oiled machine. You're just running it like a machine in terms of understanding what are the needs, knowing what you can do for them, and then delivering it in that package.
Yeah, again and again and again, and becoming better at it. And the level of quality keeps getting better. So true. I want to ask you a couple other questions. You've talked about some of the challenges. You've talked about how to get started. I think I want to ask you, what are some of the benefits of doing all of this exercise? This is a lot of work. I know we made it sound easy, but if you were to get down to it, asking these questions, doing some interviews, great, all done. Now what's next?
So it's like a blind man and the elephant, right? Like the blind men were touching different parts of the elephant and trying to figure out what it was. Some said rope for the tail and some said it's trunk of the tree for the leg. Now everybody is, if they were only doing the personas right, the blind man and the elephant, they would know it was an elephant. I mean, coming to the point really is that now you've done the personas, now the whole team is on the same page. Now, when you are talking about Kika, the millennial in your company, everybody knows what it is that you're talking about, who she is. The background is crystal clear. So the marketing team knows that she's a millennial. She consumes content, she talks. The language is different, the kind of free time that she's having, where she spends, everything is very well known. So you're not at that juncture when you're running a campaign or running a series of content that you want to deliver to this target audience. At that juncture, you're not starting from letter A. You're like really knowing what it is that she wants and she expects. And it is so easy for the customer also to then consume that content because it is talking to their challenges, to them.
Right. And sometimes when the marketing is so good, you as a customer feel that, oh, this was made for me, or this piece of content was made for me. And that's an example of someone having done their research in personas and ideal customers.
That's right. And speaking of content, what happens is a lot of small businesses may think that it's a lot of work to build content for a persona type and then do another for another one and for another. So there are ways that you can string it all together, because if you have thought through what is your big picture, what it is that you're trying to achieve in this, and you go back to the personas, you are merely connecting the dots. So if you are able to do that, it's not going to be too much of work, because what you're doing is simply making that big why into three different pieces. Who's talking to a customer who wants, say, persona A, persona B, and persona C. You're just delivering it piecemeal to each of them.
Yeah. If the persona is designed correctly, then the SEO marketing effort, as you said, becomes very easy, because you know exactly who you're after and you know exactly what you should be even saying in those ad words. If you're putting paid media ads, you know exactly what to talk about, what to put on those ads.
That's right. And I feel always, in my experience, the sales and the marketing alignment, like there is always this tension because the salespeople feel that marketing is not bringing enough leads and the marketing feels that sales are not generating enough whatever I'm bringing in. So I felt through the experience that once we started putting these personas, and at that time we were talking about 18 different personas, it was huge. But when we started talking about personas and when we started, suddenly the language that between sales and marketing, what we were talking just made so much sense. They knew what we are talking, why we are building this content type for whom. And the salespeople knew that, yes, once this content is built, how can I approach this persona with that content or even on the phone, talk about it in a very intelligent way.
Yeah, because they know the kind of customer they're talking to. And this particular example of 18 personas, was it for a client? For who was this for?
Yeah, this is at my time with a multinational company. It's a marketing research company, Frost & Sullivan. And we had about 8 departments, like business units, and we were serving 14 different countries. So in Asia Pacific or in Southeast Asia, 14 countries, they may speak a variety of Chinese language, but they are all very different culturally. So when we built these 18 specific target personas, we were really going by geography as well. So internally, we were not getting confused on what it is. So it was by business unit, by geography, and we made it so, so targeted to that person.
I'm just amazed at having 18 personas. I can barely handle 3. 18 is must have been so huge to work with.
Yeah, and we had a huge team also. We used to have meetings for personas, right? Like we're talking personas and we have meetings only to talk personas and think about content for those personas. Then we will invite sales team to kind of discuss about those personas and then they would give us inputs because obviously sales have amazing amount of information. And this was during the time when all these marketing technology was just coming in. So in order to kind of meet them at some midpoint, we had to do this exercise so that we knew what we were talking and they knew what we were talking. There was no confusion at all.
So alignment between sales and marketing, so important. And it's so fascinating to think about entire marketing teams and sales team just talking about personas. And it shows you how important this whole concept is, which is why we have a whole episode here on the Elevated Entrepreneur Podcast. It is so important that even big companies spend so much time and effort in getting clarity. So it makes it even more important for smaller businesses to do this exercise on their own. Okay, so we've been talking for quite some time and I want to start to wrap up, but I have last few final questions to get through to you. So I want to know from your experience, given COVID and given the shift in the industry, what should an entrepreneur be thinking about, especially in terms of marketing?
Absolutely. I think in last 3 months, it's just such a eye-opener in terms of what we have all gone through. Everybody has had a very steep learning curve from moving entire operations remote to keeping the overheads low, right? Marketing may not be at the top priority for everyone who's looking at short-term survival. And it is very natural to focus on business development, to close deals at this moment rather than investing in brand building activities. So what I think in this situation is that this is actually a perfect storm, giving us an opportunity to calibrate between dropping the non-essential marketing activities and focusing on building long-term brand and thought leadership. And the businesses can do these 3 to 4 things that I'm going to say now. First, communicate. Extend your current brand, speak, style, and showcase the humane part of your brand. Communicate to your client base that you've got their backs. Communicate with your ecosystem that we are all in this together and so forth. So at this moment, what you are going to communicate is really going to be reflective of who you are as a brand. The next is extend value. Anxiousness is obviously everywhere and brands worldwide have extended their services for minimal cost or free at some places. So there are plenty of examples of companies big and small offering their services for free or heavily discounted price or bundling services to provide more value. Come to think of it, how your current services can be extended to client or even beyond your prospects and community at large. I think there is definitely a huge merit at this current moment to associate your brand with doing good. And pull over push strategy. So do not overtly push messages promoting your products and services. in the hope of closing past deals. I see so many companies, because everything is virtual, using a lot of time to push content and ads in social media. This style of tone-deaf communication can really put off even warm prospects. So instead of doing that, you double up your online presence. Sure, use that time and resources for building content, fine-tuning your SEO. So whenever a client looks up for any kind of services that they need, they can find your brand and build that trust immediately. And leverage on content development and plan to keep the audiences engaged through digital channels. And I think the last one that I would like to add to this one is conversations. They can tremendously help businesses to see the customer's perspective. So if at this time you invest time and resources to a meaningful and value-based conversation, that can do good. In fact, this reminds me of ex-HubSpot content person Joe Chernow. He said that good marketing makes the company look smart, a great marketing makes the customer feel smart. And this is the time for making the customer feel smart.
It's so interesting you say that. I want to make sure that I highlight in the episode. That is so interesting and so true, especially in this time. So I want to ask you, I read a lot of books and I know you read a lot of books. So I want to ask you for book recommendations because I think an entrepreneur should always be reading. So what books do you recommend?
So I like this book called Building a Story Brand, Clarifying Your Message So Customers Will Listen. It's by Donald Miller. This book talks about how businesses can start thinking from a customer's perspective. It shares about how to understand what your customers are looking for and why they're buying from certain businesses over others. And Donald Miller lays out these 7 universal story points that all human beings respond to. So what I like about this book is that the concepts are applicable to all types of businesses and all sizes of businesses. Coming from a communications background, I believe that pretty websites are great, but how you communicate and leverage words definitely sells. So if we haven't clarified the message, nor do we know who the customer is, then how do you expect to sell the product? And the second book is the classic from my MBA days, which I've been using a lot for my own business. It's called The Blue Ocean Strategy, How to Create Uncontested Market Space and Make Competition Irrelevant. It's very relevant. Like right now, the world is in a mode of disruption. There are a lot of new innovative ideas that are coming up. And then in this situation, how are you creating your niche, your blue ocean? So it gives plenty of examples and also tools to apply. Of that, my favorite tool is really the Eliminate, Reduce, Raise, and Create Action Framework, where authors really make you think which factors from your industry, like, and as we discussed earlier, in marketing, landscape is so vast, which have been taken for granted that you're eliminating, which factors should be reduced well below the standard, which should be raised well above the standard, and which factors you should be creating that your industry has never offered. So that book is a classic.
This book was gifted to me by Muhammad, who was on the podcast a few episodes ago. And I have to say, it's a very technical read. Yeah, a word of warning, this book is going to take some time. But like you said, it's well worth the time and the effort that you're going to put into reading the book.
That's true. And it's definitely for more on the business side of it, not communications or marketing side of it.
Awesome. And I have to ask you, being on the Elevated Entrepreneur podcast, what does the word Elevated Entrepreneur mean to you?
Firstly, I love the name. I really feel elevated already thinking about it. So great name for the podcast. So I feel an entrepreneur who's initiated on a journey to create a sustainable business and consistently elevates his business, his team, and himself to the next level is an elevated entrepreneur.
So well said. I just had an interview with Varsha, my business coach, a couple episodes ago, and we talked about this leadership aspect and how can you become a better leader. So I'm so glad that you brought that up in your point. You're right. It's not just a good business person, but also a good leader and a person who's constantly elevating his team and putting them in the forefront. I'm so glad to hear that. Thank you for sharing. 2 more questions, and I promise they'll be the last ones. What's the advice that you can give to someone who's just starting out or an entrepreneur who's not having a good time in these times?
I think when they're starting out, do not try to do everything by yourself. I'll address that first one, who are starting out on their own. Because if you seek help from experts, as that way, you're not only achieving the progress in a faster amount of time, but you're also building a community on the go that can support you like a pseudo team. Because I relate this to myself, because I'm from a very corporate environment where there were vendors, there were team members who were delivering different things. So at that one point, it didn't seem too overwhelming. But now when you're all alone on your own, everything can seem so overwhelming. You have to pay attention to marketing, finances. Within marketing, there are just so many things. So I feel if you outsource, but to relevant experts, it can help you achieve. And if you kind of break it down to granular level, it can really help you. And at this time, I think that's what is needed. If you're starting your business at this time, break it down, make a list that what is it that you're going to achieve step by step by step, and what do you expect after, say, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months down the line, because you can't really build the entire business in one day. And these times are very, very different.
Absolutely. Rome wasn't built in a day. We've heard that time and time again, and so true, especially during these times. So where can people find you? And what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Sure. I always welcome a very good conversation on marketing business intersect. So please feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'm at Surbhi Dedhia, or email me at surbhi@digitalgenie.co.
Awesome. And any other links that you'd like to share?
Right now, I'm in the midst of building Digital Genie. And digitalgenie.co is going to be my website. So if you want to go check it out, please go check it out. Other than that, if the rain, it helps, I can build together like a couple of websites which people can access through the show notes as a reference to build personas or to build basic marketing.
Yes, certainly. That would be fantastic. I'll definitely collate them from you, and I will definitely put them in the show notes. Surbhi, thank you so much for being on the show and giving my audience such an amazing episode to learn from. Thank you.
Thank you, Dhiren. It was so much fun talking once again, like those old days where we're sitting over a cup of coffee and talking all of this.
Yeah, you made it till the end of the episode. And as I promised at the beginning of this episode, Surbhi has put together a very special guide on hacking digital marketing for small businesses. And you can get your hands on this very special guide if you head on over to elevatedentrepreneur.fm/8, like the number 8. Now, before we go, I want to tell you about the next episode releasing on the 14th of July. That episode is all about accounting with Wayne Richards from Bean Ninjas. I don't like accounting very much, and I'm pretty sure that you don't either. And that's exactly why I've had Wayne come on and give us the tips that every business owner should follow in their business. So stay tuned, bookmark that date, and I will see you in that episode on the 14th of July. Thank you so much for staying with me till the very end of the episode. You've done it. I've got 3 specific asks for you, only if you think that this podcast is worthy of your support and if you've enjoyed the content. My first request is for you to hit the subscribe button, actually smash that subscribe button, so that you can get notified when new episodes come your way. Or if you haven't already, head on over to elevatedentrepreneur.fm and subscribe to the podcast on the website so that new episodes are emailed to you right away. My second request is for you to help me spread the word with your friends and families and business owners that would enjoy this podcast and help elevate them too. You can do that either by leaving a review on your Apple device or just telling your friends how cool this podcast is. And finally, if there's a question that you've been dying to ask me, or if there's pieces of feedback that you'd like to give me, head on over to elevatedentrepreneur.fm/speak, where you'll be able to record a voice message that I can listen to and also maybe feature here on the podcast together with my answer. I'd love to hear from you. Thank you, much love, and I'll see you in the next one.